Life Audio. Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. On today's episode, I wanted to touch on the topic of early Christian thinkers, And after a word from our sponsors, we'll get started on the topic today.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Since the beginning of the first century, we didn't have to look far to see Christians who are able to rightly divide the word of truth, according to 1 Peter 3:15, to sanctify the Lord God with all of your heart and being ready to give each man or woman an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, and to do it with gentleness as well as respect. This is the charge for you and I. As Christians, we must be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, and to do it with gentleness as well as respect. We have to be gentle. We can't push our faith on other people. We can't coerce people into Christianity. We can't force people into Christianity. We can't make people believe in Jesus Christ by the sword, meaning by force and by compulsion. People have to accept Christ because they desire to have a relationship with the Messiah, not because they're being intimidated, not because they fear for their lives, but because they want to, they desire to, they will to have a relationship with Jesus the Christ. So let's keep that in mind. In today's culture, in today's society, there's just so much going on. There are people that are determined to go against the will of God due to sin. There are people who are fulfilling prophecy. They are lovers of themselves. They are not open to sound doctrine. They are people who are heretics, meaning that they preach and teach false theology. They are people who are part of the apostate, meaning that they seem to have fallen away from the faith, but they never really were in the faith to begin with. So this is nothing new. Since the first century, God had called saints to stand up and oppose heretical views. And whatever goes against the word of God is heretical. And we must be careful to not misidentify the wolves with the sheep, those that come that are determined to view God and to worship God in their own eyes will fall short. And they are the ones that we really, as a church, we need to look out for, people who claim to be Christians, but their theology is that of the devil. They're not Christians at all. They are preaching and teaching the opposite of what God teaches. So we must be careful. But in the early centuries or infancy of the church, shortly after the apostles, God raised up godly men who would stand up and fight against heretical view. One of these men, in our previous episode, we talked about St. Ignatius. In this episode, just want to highlight some of the other people who helped to advance the sound views of the church. One such a person was Irenaeus. He was one of the early church patriarchs, and he was born in Asia Minor, and he lived from approximately 125 AD to 202 AD. He was a student of Polycarp. Irenaeus, indeed, is another example of Christians putting their faith in action by utilizing their intellect. There are so many Christians today who've checked their brains out of the door, and you don't have to. We, as believers, we have the best of both worlds. We have faith and reason. We know the physics as well as the metaphysics. God has called us to be able to identify general revelation as well as special revelation. So we have the best of both worlds, and we don't have to just say we have faith in God alone when God has also given us evidence. We do walk by faith, not by sight, but God, through his causality, has given us some evidence for us to hold on to. So Irenaeus was a student of Polycarp, as I said it before, and he was a man of intellect, and he was instrumental in helping to create systematic theologies, which are still being followed by us today. Irenaeus is credited with writing a 5-volume treatise emphasizing sound doctrine in response to the rise of Gnosticism. And you guys remember, for those who have listened to the show, we defined Gnosticism or Gnostic views. And when we say Gnosticism, is spelled G-N-O-S-T-I-C, Gnostic. And that was a prevalent view in the first century. They believe in the demiurge. That's the term they use for God. They didn't believe in anything physical. They believed that everything was spiritual, that the body wasn't real, but bodies appeared to be real, but they were non-physical. And this view is heretic in the sense that if Jesus rose up physically, as the Bible says, and you denying that physical resurrection, then your view is heretical. If Jesus, who rose up physically, and Thomas was able to touch the palm of his hand and in response proclaim my Lord and my God, and the Bible is emphatic that Jesus rose up physically, and you say he did not rise up physically, but that he only appeared to have a human body, that's a problem. And that's what Gnostics believe and taught. They saw all material things as evil. So whatever you see as physical, whatever you deem as material, they saw that as evil. They saw the spirit or the soul as endeavoring to escape the body. So they put a lot of emphasis on the non-physical, the spirit and the soul, and they believe that we were, in essence, just all spiritual. We didn't have any body. But let me take a second or so to explain this concept and why this is so problematic. Number one, God made us a body and soul unit. He made us a body and soul unit. That's what makes us human. We are a body and soul unit. We are body and soul composite, body, soul, or body, spirit. I believe that the term soul and spirit is interchangeable, but that's a whole nother podcast. So let's look at it. If God created us a body and soul unit, and you are denying the physicality, the body component, then that misrepresents who we are as humans. So Gnosticism was fraught with bad theology and bad logic. And so Irenaeus, in his composition, he wrote to defend the church against Gnosticism. His work proved to be invaluable to later Christians who came after him. Irenaeus, like many other Christians in the second century, reasoned skillfully, meaning they used their minds. Just like today, we have to use our minds. There are so many false doctrines out there inside the church as well as outside the church. And we have to be ready to defend the faith. We have to be ready to learn sound doctrine. We have to be ready to divide the word of God accurately. We have to be skillful. Their faith in God, meaning the early Christians and scriptures, were the basis for their theology or defense or apologia. So it is through the writing of Irenaeus that we get a more in-depth teaching of Gnosticism. So if you want to learn about what Gnostics believe and taught, you read the work of Irenaeus, and it'll give you insight into this first century false theology. Irenaeus skillfully used arguments based on doctrinal passages to rebuff the leaders of the Alexandrian school. So keep that in mind. He was instrumental in helping us identify what Gnosticism taught and to rebuff claims coming out of the Gnostic school of thought. So in order to protect a sound church doctrine, Irenaeus specifically wrote against the rise of a group called Martianism, or the teaching or movement called Martianism. Martianism was founded by Martian of Pontus in the second century. Let us take a break to recognize our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
He disliked Judaism and any scripture from the Jewish religion. So as a result of his negative view of Jewish writings, he rejected the God of the Old Testament, but he embraced the God of the New Testament. So Martian even cataloged his own set of scriptures. He personally canonized it. It is under this climate that Irenaeus felt compelled to speak out. His faith convinced him that if he were to write a treatise exposing the flaws in movements such as Martianism, it would help the church defend itself. In order to accomplish his goal, he wrote coherently in his book entitled Against Heresies. Irenaeus' writings had a tremendous impact on the early church. Concerning his contributions to Christian thought, Bruce Shelley writes, his theology was grounded in the Bible and the church's doctrine and helped provide a steadying positive influence in the church. Christian thinkers such as Irenaeus viewed reasoning as a necessary part of the Christian duty. So that's where we are. God has called us to stand up in these last days and defend the faith. We defend the faith because if we don't defend the faith, then people would assume that lies and falsehood are the truth. Thus, leading to people getting hurt, thus leading to people's eternal security, meaning people getting saved in the first place, being in jeopardy. And we want, as Christians, we want everybody to get to know the authentic Jesus and not the false Jesus. So defending the faith is important. It would hinder, or it does hinder, many Christian communities and churches because of bad theology. When bad theology seeps in, it winds up hurting people. When bad theology seeps in, it winds up distorting the authentic view of Jesus, which God is against us having an inauthentic view of Jesus Christ. So this is an issue that we're facing in today's society. The next person I would like to highlight is Clement of Alexandria. And of course, we're talking about Africa, Alexandria, Egypt. Clement of Alexandria, he lived approximately from 155 AD to 215 AD. He became a Christian largely due to the influence of Pantanus. Pantanus was the founder of the Catechetical School of Alexandria. This school offers students a curriculum based on an allegorical system of biblical interpretation. Students were taught that scriptures had more than one meaning, which is a dangerous theology to have. It's a false or inconsistent presupposition to start off by approaching the scriptures as though there's two meanings. That leads to chaos. So as a result, students from this school were constantly looking for esoteric interpretations, meaning they wouldn't take the Bible on face value. They was looking for something else beside what they were reading, which led to multiple interpretations of a particular passage, as an example. So Clement eventually became one of the leaders of this Alexandrian school. It is from this background that Clement of Alexandria grew to his status. He's often called the father of Christian philosophy. So again, my point is not to say that Clement of Alexandria didn't have any doctrinal issues, which he did, but I wanted to highlight the ability of Christians to still reason and put together arguments for God, even though some of the secondary doctrines may be off. We as Christians, we must be able to not just rightly divide the word of truth, but even before we get there, we must allow God to use our emotions as well as our logic and our intellect. Unfortunately, many Christians in this 21st century don't think critically. Some have little training in the area of hermeneutics. Others see no advantage in attending upper-level education classes, whether it's Bible schools or seminaries, what have you. Some Christians frown on that for whatever reason. You can get it at your own church if they offer high-quality theological education. So as a result, we have a large population of ignorant Christians who cannot defend their faith with intellect that God has given us, with intelligence that God has given us. Many Christians even scoff at the notion of learning how to think critically. However, this was not the sentiment during the second and third century. The role of reason, propelled by faith in God, was the catalyst for many Christians like Clement of Alexandria to attempt to defend the Christian faith. Clement believed Greek philosophy and science could be used as a preparation for the gospel. This view became part of the Alexandria curriculum. He wanted his students to have a sound education as well as the gospels. So even though the Alexandrian school had some doctrines that were not scriptural, they did very well with the sound part, with the scriptural part, with the healthy part. So it's just like a lot of churches. There are churches that teach good doctrine, but then you have members within that that church that may not uphold or subscribe to the same doctrines that the church articles of faith may uphold. So Clement wanted to groom Christian philosophers. That was one of his goals. He ultimately wanted to teach his students Greek philosophy along with other philosophies so he could prove that philosophy based on Christian scripture was superior. And for some of you all, you may be saying, well, philosophy and Christianity do not go together. That's not true. The actual etymology of the word philosophy is phileo and sophia. Those two Greek words, phileo meaning love, sophia is wisdom. So philosophy in its original meaning means the love of wisdom. And God says he provides wisdom to all those who diligently seek him and desire wisdom. So philosophy in its original core is what Christianity is all about, is to love wisdom and to seek wisdom from God. So ultimately, Clement wanted to teach his students Greek philosophy. As I said, he believed that all truth came from God, which it does. All truth come from God. All true revelation come from God. And we must be open to give God praise for that. As a result, he had no apprehensions about using things he considered true from Greek culture because he believed God gave it to them. His writings show a man who was acquainted with many secular writings. His faith moved him beyond the church superstition and traditions. Concerning Clement's work, Bruce Shelley writes, Clement, the first Christian scholar, was versed not only in the Holy Scriptures, but also in the knowledge of his time, including Greek philosophy and classical literature. He understood the questions and problems of the young who came from such educational centers such as Rome, Athens, and Antioch. He did not believe that reading non-biblical or non-Christian sources were sinful. And that's true. You can have Christians who are mature enough to read non-Christian books and use that information to ascertain the good part about it in order to help others. If you read the book of Acts, you run into a passage where Luke writes, in him we move and have our being. And he said, even of your own poets have written that. So that quote wasn't from a Christian source. It was from a secular source. But they understood, the church understood that there are things even in the world that God gave us, that God endorsed, and we can use that to bring and to show individuals that are yet to be Christians that we speak their language, and God has given us this ability to use common language to expose Christ to them. So Clement had the same issues during the third century that we're dealing with now. It's also imperative for me to mention that some of the objectives to Clement's practices, in my opinion, seem to be valid. Clement's work, again, is a testament to the synthesis between faith and reason and the early church. Not that he had everything right, but he knew how to use faith and reason to argue Christianity, to argue the gospel. Then the next person I'd like to highlight is Origen. Origen was a student of Clement, and he succeeded him as the leader of the Catechetical School of Alexandria. He lived from approximately 182 AD to 251 AD, which is second and third century. Origen is responsible for some of the earliest textual criticism of Greek and Hebrew texts. His aim was to give a correct translation of scriptural texts to the church. He also wrote in response to Celsus' work entitled True Discourse. Celsus argued against Christianity on the grounds that Christianity was not rational in his book True Discourse. So, and this is dangerous. You even have some people in the church that believe that all we should do is be emotive. We should just live by being emotional and being purely emotive and basing our faith off of feelings and neglecting the intellect, and that's dangerous. We cannot neglect something that God has given us and he wants us to use. So it was to this charge that Origen's faith in what he believed to be truth compelled him to refute the words of Celsus. Origen argued by using conversion of individuals as evidence of the efficacy of Christianity, meaning that when people are converted, that is proof of what God is saying, that he's able to save. We once again see similar pattern of faith being the motivating factor to answer some of the fundamental issues of life. It is reported that he wrote about 6,000 works or compositions. Most of his works centered on summaries of difficult passages, and some dealt with homilies or sermons and commentaries. So he wrote concerning the essence of God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the world, angels, man, sins, resurrection, eschatology, and free will. Origen attempted to use Christianity to buttress his point regarding theories about the world. So Origen showed traces of Platonic education. As a result, he believed all eternal things only existed in the mind. And this is where he went off in his theology. But it's apparent in looking at the life of Origen that faith in God was the foundation for all his work. His metaphysics, even despite Platonism, was measured within the lines of Scripture. His outlook on life was based on his concept of what the Bible conveyed. His work is another evidence of a Christian's faith producing action by the method or process of his logic or reasoning. So it's important. It's important for all of us that we allow God to use our minds to remove the objections that others have about Christianity and to be able to share the gospel in a rational way. I pray that this message on early thinkers have opened your eyes. I hope that it has helped you to be bold about your faith and to reach those who speak and talk a different way. So I pray you continue to do for the truth what others do for a lie. Please consider becoming a monthly supporter of our ministry. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at...
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for working everything out for my good. Help me trust in your perfect plan. Amen.
Father, thank you for loving and caring for me.
With Christian Prayer Meditation, you can pray along to prayers based on specific topics. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Christian Prayer Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.